Now. Real people, real opinions. Nighttime Talk with Niall Boylan.
Ireland's classic hits radio.
Hello and welcome along to tonight's edition of Nighttime Talk. It's a Monday evening and we're getting the week kicked off in a big, big way here on Nighttime Talk. I'm Gary Brennan, standing in for Niall Boylan. On tonight's show, we're going to be talking about Remembrance Sunday. Of course, everything that happened with Michelle O'Neill and James McLean as well. We're going to be talking about that and we have an expert coming in as well to chat with us before we get into the giddy grounds of it. And then after that, we're going to be asking the question, are we losing our religion? Plenty of people with plenty of opinions on that. Get in touch with the show on 087-188-0008. We have a reader dilemma, and that's going to be a really interesting one. A listener dilemma, excuse me. And we're going to be getting to that later on. And then I've got a great interview with a very interesting woman. She's dubbed the luckiest woman in the UK. And she was also a part of Come Dine With Me. So she's going to talk to us about all of that. And that's coming up at about 11:30. So let's get started on our first topic tonight, Remembrance Sunday. It was on the lips of everybody all across the country. And of course in the UK as well. It's a very, very important day. Stormont First Minister Michelle O'Neill yesterday became the first senior Sinn Féin figure to take part in any Remembrance Sunday ceremony in Northern Ireland after laying a wreath during an event at Belfast City Hall. O'Neill said her attendance is a demonstration of her determination to fulfil her pledge to be a First Minister for all. A message on the wreath read, "As First Minister, I wish to take our society beyond old limits to build bridges and to a shared future together." However, she's faced criticism from some people in the Republican and Nationalist community. More than 100 relatives of IRA members and civilians killed by the security forces and loyalists during the Troubles signed a public statement published in the Irish News expressing devastation at her decision to attend. A banner with the word traitors on it was erected at her constituency office as well. Elsewhere, former Republic of Ireland footballer James McLean came under fire once again after he refused to wear a poppy and opted to stand separately from his Wrexham FC teammates as they observed a minute's silence for Remembrance Sunday ahead of their fixtures against Mansfield over the weekend. So we want to hear from you tonight about this. Do you think that Michelle O'Neill did the right thing, and is this the start of respecting our differences, or do you think that James McLean is right for refusing to stand with his teammates and partake in the tradition? What's your general view of the entire thing? Let me know what you think. Get in touch on WhatsApp 087-188-0008. You can also get involved on social media on X at Classic Hits Radio or Ireland's Classic Hits Radio on Facebook. But my first guest tonight is Dr. Paul Breen, who has a particular take on this. Paul is a Fermanagh native who is a lecturer at University College London and an author. He's not affiliated with any political party and is looking at the issue from a critical perspective. Paul, you are very, very welcome to the programme. How are you?
Yeah, thanks for having me on, Gary. It's great to be here and talking about this issue because it is such a controversial one at the present time.
Yeah, this is why I wanted to talk to you tonight, because I think a lot of people have opinions on this and I just want to get to the background of it. What is Remembrance Sunday?
Well, I think that's where the whole contention comes in, because in my mind, Remembrance Sunday has become something of a theatrical event almost. And remembrance has forgotten the very thing that it's supposed to be remembering, because even though there's some contention about this, at its core, Remembrance Sunday is supposed to be about remembering the First World War, which theoretically is supposed to be the war that was supposed to end all wars. And yet what it has become is almost a celebration of militarism. And even the Royal British Legion themselves, they would say that it's remembering all those who fought in wars up to the present conflicts, which I think is the problem for many Republicans, naturally enough, because those present conflicts have included Ireland until very recently, and then other parts of the world where they would feel a kind of fraternity with the conflicts that are going on there. So it's something that in many ways is a bit like a chameleon. It's all things to all people, and it doesn't seem to know quite what it is. And that's what the problem is, in my opinion.
And is this why James McLean says that if it was just for World War One and World War Two, he wouldn't probably have a problem with wearing the poppy? But as you says, it's evolved over the years, Remembrance Sunday, to encapsulate all the British forces in all of the areas that they fought in or were you know, stationed.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it has. And that has even increased in recent years, which actually coincides with probably a decline in the amount of First and Second World War veterans who are still alive. And I mean, I completely support James McLean in what he's doing. And I don't see any contradiction in supporting James McLean's stance and also thinking that despite my reservations, Michelle O'Neill was probably right to enact this gesture at the present time, you know, and to try and shift the conversation towards Irish unity, and just to show that on the nationalist and Republican side, there is actually a willingness to reach out and to recognise that there are two sides to this story. The problem for me and for many Republicans, I think, is that there doesn't seem to be the same willingness on the British side to recognise that. And even listening to Hilary Benn a few days ago, the Secretary of State, I mean, he was talking as if Michelle O'Neill and the nationalist community in the North were also a part of the British military tradition. And, okay, some were. I mean, my great-grandfather was actually, he was from Swinford, and he fought for the British Army in the Boer War, and then he came back to Swinford, and he fought on the Republican side, and then he ended up joining the Free State Army as well in the Civil War. So he ended his life with two military pensions. So there's a lot of very deeply entwined histories here. But I think at the end of the day, the problem is that the emphasis has very much shifted away from the First and Second World Wars towards, unfortunately, those conflicts that are far closer to home for many of us, especially those of us that grew up in the North, you know, through the 80s and 90s when the conflict was still raging.
You mentioned that the British Legion has a particular sort of version of events on this, and Michelle O'Neill demonstrating over the weekend a willingness to, for want of a better word, move forward and sort of in an act of reconciliation. And as you mentioned, I picked up what you said there, that you said it seems to be one-way traffic at the moment. Can you explain more why you think that?
Well, even going back to what Hilary Benn was saying, I mean, there's just this sense that the poppy and remembrance is this neutral act. And there's a righteousness behind it as well. And we see the same in football and the spectacle of players being forced to wear the poppy embroidered into their jerseys. And anyone who dares to speak up is ostracized and demonized in the tabloids especially. So the whole issue, I think, with this, is that the poppy isn't an apolitical symbol, but again, the Royal British Legion tried to portray it in that sense. So it's one-way traffic in that they're quite vague about this, right? So I've got into discussions on social media, gone down rabbit holes with people who will say that the poppy represents all the victims. And I will say, oh, okay, so that's fine then. The poppy also represents the guys who fought in Iraq and Afghanistan and the people of, you know, Gaza and Lebanon at the present time. And then I will say stuff like, well, if it involves all combatants in war, then it also, effectively, Michelle O'Neill was laying the wreath for Bobby Sands and the hunger strikers.
Yeah.
And then this is at the point at which most advocates of the poppy and of remembrance will turn around and say, no, of course it's not. You know, they're not part of our dead. And I think that's what it's about. It's this righteousness of who the dead are and the only dead that really deserve to be remembered. are the British dead? And I think that's why it's very much a one-way conversation at the minute. But why by Michelle O'Neill laying that wreath? And I've heard Michelle Gildernew, former MP for Fermanagh South Tyrone, has been very eloquent in expressing this idea as well. We, on the nationalist side, have, throughout our whole lives, been told how we have to respect the suffering and grief of unionists and the British. Mm. But it doesn't go the other way. The British don't recognise Irish death and don't recognise coloured death. And actually, in academic circles, this is kind of referred to as colourblindness. So the British have a colourblindness when it comes to understanding that there are two sides of the story, and those who suffered because of the British Empire were also innocent victims. So it's not just about their dead.
Aren't these things that we're going to have to grapple with going on into the future for people, say, who would say that we need to work towards a united Ireland? And the question always after that of saying a united Ireland, what does a united Ireland look like? And we have to be mindful of the history of the country, and it's going to look completely different if it happens. Isn't that right?
Yeah, well, I would agree with that. But at the same time, I suppose, you know, we shouldn't assume that it has to be a place where people have to compromise to a point where, for example, we don't need a united Ireland where unionists would feel that it was compulsory for them to wear an Easter lily. Mm. In the same way as I don't think any united Ireland nationalist or Republican politicians would necessarily need to wear a poppy. And this is another thing as well, it's a trap that we shouldn't fall into, right? So, you know, in some ways, and I actually have almost got in trouble for joking about this, because sometimes I joke with English friends that I actually want to liberate them. And sometimes they misunderstand that. But what I mean by that is we shouldn't assume that just because the British establishment is very royal and loyal and militaristic and monarchistic. Not everyone in Britain is like that. Not everyone in Britain signs up to this idea that, you know, Britishness is defined by loyalty to the army. And, you know, they're not all Daily Mail readers. I mean, you can be British and wear a white poppy or a purple poppy or a black poppy or wear no poppy. So it's not everyone in Britain that supports this. With Northern Irish Unionists, it is slightly different in that they do, you know, they do try to be more British than the British themselves in some way, and that's they're entitled to do that, and you can kind of understand it. But we shouldn't also assume that in the event of a united Ireland, we'll still have this kind of adherence to a Britishness that's just defined by militarism. I think it might actually change because, you know, we see what's happened with Brexit and with how Britain seems to be shifting towards the right. I mean, there's, you know, I live in London and work in London for most of the year outside of November. I don't really see a place that's particularly obsessed with militarism. But then when November comes, poppies cover everything. It's like a poppy fever, like the measles all over the place. And that's kind of enforced on people, I think, rather than something natural. Like even yesterday when I was out shopping in, you know, out catching a bus in one of the nearest shopping towns in the part of London that I live, I didn't see very many poppies on display. You know,
feel there might be a little bit of a disconnect there in terms of tradition and just something that everybody does, because, you know, I notice it every mid-October, just turn on the BBC or ITV and everybody has a poppy. It is just absolutely everywhere. Even in America sometimes, you watch an American programme, anyone who's who's British on the television will be wearing a poppy, and they keep getting bigger and bigger and bigger. And so you feel there's a disconnect in a modern world about the complexities of it.
Yeah, I think there is a big disconnect, and especially young people don't seem particularly interested in wearing poppies. And again, I think this whole enforcement of wearing poppies really came in around 2007, 2008, because what happened was the British Army realized that, you know, a lot of the old veterans were passing away, and there wasn't the same public support for war. So then you had Help for Heroes that emerged. And at that point, they copied the Americans in trying to infiltrate, maybe the wrong word, but just trying to introduce militarism into everyday life, like in sporting events.
And I think it's,
exactly the same as that. Yeah. So, you know, it started with soldiers presenting the FA Cup, and just then the first poppies started to appear in football shirts, and all presenters had to wear them, because I think before then it was a more understated kind of thing. But look, that in many ways, bad pun, but or bad comparison, but the poppy police are kind of shooting themselves in the foot, because what they are doing by forcing someone, for example, I mean, let's just take forcing Argentinian footballers, you know, who play for Manchester City or whatever, to wear the poppy that's remembering soldiers who fought against their country in the Falklands War. I mean, that reduces the poppy to being a meaningless symbol. So if you do genuinely believe that the poppy represents, you know, a peaceful future and has nothing to do with militarism, then I think you should also be enraged at the idea that it's just being reduced to something like a red nose, or, you know, any of the multitude of coloured ribbons that charities hand out. So it's becoming meaningless in the way that it's being used at the present time as well.
Do you think, Paul, that it's time for a rethink from the British Legion?
I think what they need to do, and that's why I think Michelle was right. I mean, she laid a laurel wreath. But they need to actually define what it is that the poppy represents, because, you know, a lot of the people as well who wear the poppy don't do it out of support for militarism. They maybe do it in memory of the First and Second World Wars. They think that they're wearing this symbol, which is a symbol of peace. But actually, as far as the British Legion are concerned, it is a symbol of the British armed forces. So it's anything but a symbol of peace. And if the British Legion really want to make this an inclusive symbol, it's not about having a rainbow poppy or about having a black poppy or whatever. It's about actually saying, okay, this represents all the victims of conflict. So it represents the people who died on Bloody Sunday just as much as it represents the, you know, the soldiers who died at the Somme in the First World War. So they've really got to make that call, because as it is, I think, you know, to a great many Republicans who are very offended at the present time, Michelle O'Neill was participating in a ceremony that honoured the British dead and the British Army without taking into consideration that they also killed a lot of people. So, you know, the British Legion, I think, has to balance the good with the bad. And, you know, I think that Britain can never have that conversation about empire until it actually thinks about what it did in Ireland and what's still going on in Northern Ireland. So, you know, I think Michelle is instigating a difficult conversation. And
Yeah, Paul, as you were talking, I was thinking to myself, the thought entered my mind. I said, Britain, sort of post-empire, have they had that conversation? And I don't think they have.
Nope, they have not And, again, in academic circles, even, English academics are looking at this. And there's just this, there's almost this psychological blind spot. The consensus is that empire wasn't a bad thing. It was all about defense. That's the first thing. You know, that's why they call the War Department, the Ministry of Defence. So I think on the British left, there has been some discussion about empire, but it has been done in such a way that Ireland is left out, and I think Ireland isn't seen as being a victim of colonisation. I mean, in the last few weeks, I have had people suggest to me, for example, that, the Northern Irish nationalists are just the same as the white British when it comes to thinking about, our position in society. So we're not like a minority with an awareness of colonization in the same way as someone who is, African British or Caribbean British or whatever. So I think England especially, so I don't say Britain, maybe Wales as well as part of that, but in Scotland there may be more of a consciousness of this, and certainly in the north there's a very strong consciousness of this, what empire was and how the legacy of colonialism still continues, and how places like Northern Ireland are still a continuation of that. But in Britain, there is this sense that, history is finished. They're now a post-colonial, post-historical, apolitical society. And also, just another thing. So I was reading an article recently. I think there's in academic terms, right, there's this theory, and it's called the Indian grandmother theory, and it's talking about how in America lots of people in the United States want to distance themselves from what was done to the Indians or the Native Americans by saying that somewhere in their ancestry there is actually some Native American blood. Mm. But it's usually on the maternal side, and it's usually a grandmother and rather than the savage male. And in that way, they kind of exonerate themselves from having any part in the empire. And I think a lot of British people are the same in that they don't see themselves as personally being part of a legacy of the empire, even though at the same time, they're happy to remember those ancestors who fought in wars, but it's always the good ancestor.
Yeah, it's like Alucard's history.
Yeah. So there's never, nobody has ever been descended from like the soldiers who colonized places in India and Africa. And I mean, there's not even any recognition of things that happened in places like Kenya, amongst many people. And what's interesting too is I would imagine anyone from Britain or from England who was listening to this call, if they were on the left, they would probably agree wholeheartedly with what I'm saying. But if they were on the liberal or right side, this would just wash over their heads. It just won't go in.
Yeah. Well, maybe a bit of introspection over the next number of years, and certainly what Michelle O'Neill did was a very significant step forward in that regard. But I'm going to have to leave it there. Dr. Paul Breen, thank you so much for joining me tonight to discuss everything about Remembrance Sunday. Thank you very much.
Now, real people, real opinions. Nighttime Talk with Niall Boylan.
Ireland's classic hits radio.